The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
It's Friday, the best day of the week. Time for another Nate Darling Show with Diana Hong, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. And now, here to ease away the tension of your week, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
How's it going?
Are you going to ease away the tension of our week like a massage chair at the state fair?
Not quite like that.
Wait, there's a massage chair? Why did I miss that, Duffo?
I don't know. We were just talking about it.
Yeah, it was on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was days ago.
You guys mentioned the massage chair.
Yeah, you were sitting right there looking at me.
I'm pretty
with
sure.
Headphones on.
Yeah, I really think these painkillers are a lot stronger than I anticipated.
It's entirely possible.
And I haven't eaten, so that makes sense.
Oh.
Trying to get sexy now. Hey, went to the gym, getting my sexy on. I hurt everywhere.
Oh, you need food.
No, I got I'm so tired. That's the thing. It's not because I'm eating because I want to lose weight. I'm just so tired. And I'm oddly okay with not eating so I can lose weight. So.
I can't poke holes in your theory.
Right?
Because it would be pointless.
Pekka is looking at... Wait, hold on. There's a difference between, I can't poke holes in your theory because you're right, and there's a difference... And then the... it'd be pointless because you're so full of shit.
Mm. Yeah, that was the one. That was it. Yeah. So, coming up on the show today, we'll probably reveal something way more than we were thinking we were going to.
Ooh, wait. What?
Plus... Mm. Cher hated one of her own songs. We'll tell you which one. I hate all of Cher's songs, so I'm with her.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You don't believe in life after love?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't want to listen to Cher on the way home, though. You guys can listen to your Hammer song, and I'm going to listen to Cher.
I'd like to Hammer Cher. we'll also look into the orgasm gap and introduce you to the wrong victim. Again, on Wednesday, we had the wrong victim being an MMA fighting convenience store clerk.
Hmm.
This one's a little bit more famous. We'll tell you about that in a little bit.
And a more legitimate sort of fighter, I think. Anyway.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, MMA is pretty legit if you get it to the UFC
level.
I
know, but this guy is like the real
deal.
He's
a semi... Yeah. He's top of the heap.
Exactly.
Top of the heap.
Oh, yeah.
I tells you.
That other guy was top of the heap in Sri Lanka.
That's true.
He was the best Sri Lankan fighter.
I'm being a little facetious.
Yeah, that's true.
We'll get to it.
That's fine. so, coming up in a little bit, I signed up for my first trail race later on this month.
Ooh.
Which I think, I'm not going to say it's a mistake. I'm just going to say it's a little ambitious.
It's a challenge.
It is, because... You know, when you talk about trail running, people are like, oh, it's way better because you're running on dirt and grass and it's softer than pavement. Yeah, what they fail to mention is it's uneven ground. There's rocks, there's tree roots, there's...
Like loose
squirrels.
Soil?
Loose soil, hard soil, squirrels. There's squirrels everywhere.
Deer poo.
Poison oak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wasps.
Uh-huh. Skunks.
So it's your favorite.
Well, I got some trail running shoes and I drove my ass up to Pollock Pines last
Beautiful.
Weekend. It was lovely. Now the sand fire was going, but there was no you couldn't really smell any smoke there when I went up. And I'm like, okay, well I'm gonna start training. And I wanted to go up because that's where the race is in Pollock Pines, and it's at elevation. It's between 3,500 and 4,000 feet. So. There's the trail aspect of it, which is a lot of up and down. And I've been training in Sacramento by running up and down the parking garage. If you're one of my Facebook friends, you'll see pictures of the top of a parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I've been running up and down. So I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go out and I'll run like a 5K. Because the trail race is 12K. So it's 2K further than I've ever run before.
Oh, wow.
So I go out, I'm like, I'm just going to run a 5K. And I went out and I ran it, and I nearly bit it twice on the run, where my foot hit a tree root and stopped abruptly, and then I stumbled a little bit and fall down. But Sunday morning when I woke up, all of the tiny muscles in my leg, not like my calves, not like the big muscles, but all the tiny connecting muscles and tissue, all hurt like someone had hit me with like little hammers all the way up and down my legs.
Oh boy.
Because trail running's hard, you guys.
Yeah, you're just kind of keeping balance the whole time.
It
and
is
stuff. Yeah.
Super hard.
Wow.
So that's coming up on the 17th. It's the run on the sly, and it may in fact kill me. I mean,
not to be like, you can't live your dreams, Nate, but is there like a but is there like a 5K option or a 10K option? No,
no.
It's just 12K or go home.
12K. No. No. Okay. No. Let me explain this to you just so everybody knows. So it's runonthesly.com. It is a 12K half marathon, 20 miles and 50 kilometers.
Oh wow. Okay.
So you can run 12K, which is about 8 miles. You can run 13.1 miles. You can run 20 miles, or you can run 30.1 miles.
Okay, so 12K is looking way more reasonable now.
The options just got worse.
I know, right? You know, I feel like everything is going to go okay. I'm training. I'm getting up. I'm going to be going back up to Pollock Pines a couple more times because that was the other thing. Training at altitude, and granted, it's not mile high. It's not like I'm running in Denver. But there is a difference between running at Sacramento level, which is sea level, basically, or below, and running at 3,500 feet.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm running all of a sudden. I'm like, whew, I am out of breath. Although everybody's like, listen, if you're doing trail running, forget about the watch, forget about the time. You're going to have to walk up hills. Don't worry about it. Take your time. So everybody's pretty cool about it. But the other weird thing is, it's not weird. It's just the way trail running is, especially in a race like this. No headphones at all. None.
Oh. Ah.
So that you can hear race instructions, stuff like that. Because if you miss like a ribbon out in the wilderness, you can make a wrong turn and get lost or end up on the longer trail or whatever. And yeah.
Oh, poor Nate accidentally runs 50 kilometers because he misses a ribbon.
I'm not running 50 kilometers. There's no way that's happening.
Because
I am still going to have my phone with the GPS on it and tracking it through my watch just so that I can go, okay, I've been this far. I've been this far. There's only this much further to go. So I'll be able to look at it and go, oh, you're way off. And mostly so I'll be able to find my way back.
Mm-hmm.
And take pictures of deer pooping. Oh, wait, not your phone, your GPS. GPS doesn't take deer poop pictures.
GPS is in my phone.
Oh, okay. So you can take pictures of deer pooping.
Deer poop.
Yeah.
Yay.
And if I've gone that far off, I'm just going to throw in the towel and try and make it back to the shuttle bus and then make it back with my tail between my legs. But you know what? Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
It'll be cool.
It'll be an experience. And I think with a little bit more training and where I'm not just like, I'm really glad that I went up and did it and tried it beforehand. Because if I would have just been like, I'm going to run down here in Sacramento and I'm going to run up the hill and I'm going to get the hill part down. And I showed up there, I would have just had my ass handed to me day of. And so now I have a little bit better idea of what I'm in store for. So a few more training runs up there as well as training runs down here. And it's all good. It's all good. It's all very good.
That's awesome.
What could possibly go wrong?
Deer poop.
Deer poop. Did you guys go to the scat exhibit at the fair? Is that what you're getting?
No.
We missed that. I heard it was in the state parks building, but we didn't go there. We went to the candy exhibit.
It was right next door.
I know. We didn't make it that far because by then we had kind of run out of time and there were still a lot more rides we needed to go on.
The candy was right next to the poo.
Yeah.
Don't confuse them.
We just went to the candy and then we moved on to the midway.
This candy tastes weird. These little chocolate pellets are the worst. No, that didn't happen.
I see a picture of, is that Kanye West?
It is.
Oh boy. See this, when you sit in Christiana's seat, you can see Kanye. That's pretty cool.
You can.
I missed you so much because every time people talk about Kanye, I'm just like, Becca.
Aww. Ace is getting on
even,
Becca.
I know Ace just came up. He's like, oh, is there a Kanye story?
Yes, he's longed to hear about someone more selfish than himself. This is from Radar Online. New family, no problem. Workaholic Kanye West is planning a big music surprise this fall. So good news for you guys. According to UK's The Sun, the rapper, who's 37, will continue traveling the country on his 53-day Yeezus tour through August. And he's going to drop an album overnight, much like Beyonce did with her self-titled fifth record. That's without any prior promotion. She did that back in December. Kanye has been working hard on the album for a lot this year, but he's known for cutting deadlines. so it's better if he can just pull it out at the last minute. That's according to a source. While fans are sure to be thrilled, one person is likely livid with the self-proclaimed genius's ultra-ambitious move. As RadarOnline.com has previously reported, West's new wife, Kim Kardashian, is fed up with the musician's obsessive dedication to his craft. In a recent blowout fight, Kim railed on Kanye, saying that since they've been married, he's been away more than he's been away from her more than when he was single. That's according to an insider who was talking to In Touch last week.
But the thing is, like, if he's single, that means he's they're not together, or is that like you're not together?
He was with her more when they were single
when they weren't
than
married.
Since they've been married.
But see, the thing, then I think they're just downplaying their relationship before marriage. Is that what's going on? Because I don't understand when she says single. I think you're still with the person before marriage.
Right. But what she's saying is since they've been married, they've been apart a lot more than they were before. The mother of West's one-year-old daughter, North, reached her breaking point earlier this month when West ditched the girls to work on his upcoming album while vacationing at Girls Gone Wild founder Joe Francis's Mexican Villa. Yeah, it's a good place. Radar previously reported that Kardashian has been so sad since marrying West in an over-the-top Italian ceremony in May. By all appearances, Kim looks like she's has it all. The perfect husband, a beautiful daughter, but the light and joy in her eyes is gone. That's according to a source talking to Radar.com. So will Kim and Kanye split? Radar wants you to sound off in the comments. Ted, what do you think? Will they split?
Yes, they will.
Diana?
I think they're too narcissistic and about each other to split.
Becca, what do you think?
If they split, it's not going to be like right now over this. It'll be like, you know, many years from now.
Okay. Well, Trey's Felon Forehead said, "Poor Kim, I feel so sorry for her." Said no one ever.
That's still a thing? People still say that?
I think the thing that I feel saddest about is that there were no Kanye quotes in that article because I really live for his interviews. I don't need to hear Kim quotes.
Okay. There was a moment I had today.
Yes.
It was actually last night, but anyway, it was after a show. I had this moment where I actually was like, I understand Kanye. And like, I can't hate on him as much.
You're on painkillers, right? Really heavy painkillers and you're not eating?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I understand like Becca's fascination with him too. And I like, because after we had that show and we talked about like, you know, he answered the phone. He's like, why? Because my life is dope and I do dope shit. I never saw Kanye the same way again.
Yeah.
I have so much more respect for him. And I'm hoping I don't turn into, my biggest fear is that I'm going to turn into Kanye. And I really don't think that's going to happen. But I don't also want to jinx it by saying it's going to happen and then it happens. That kind of reverse jinx thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you got to give him props. Like, he is talented, even though his music is a little declined because he's so egotistical. But he is talented. And like, if you're not your own like number one fan, how can you expect other people to enjoy your shit too?
Well, you know, there's something to be said for a quiet confidence. Because everybody,
if you're that good, I have a hard time believing that there's like such thing as quiet confidence.
No, I think there is a quiet confidence. I don't hear Bruce Springsteen out yelling at people how awesome he is, because people yell it at him. See, if you're really that good, everybody tells you that you're awesome. You don't need to yell it to everybody.
I think
that would be like Diana, that's like going, "Hey, everybody, I have the best sense of humor ever. I am the life of the party." Because you know what? If you really are and you have a great sense of humor, you don't have to tell anybody. They know it.
Okay, I guess I see it a little differently. Because no kidding. I don't mean I don't mean it like that. I mean, because like athletes, for example, they go out into the tournament, like Tiger Woods and all of them, they have the mentality of like, I'm going to win, period. Mm-hmm. They step on, the second they wake up, they're like, I'm going to win. No question. Whether they do or not, that's not the point. The point is they have that certain mentality. Kanye has that mentality. And so when he gets interviewed, right, it's not like, of course, Kanye, that's what I'm saying. Kanye does a little over the top, and I do live for his interviews as well now because they are fucking hilarious and they're gems. Fully Jewish.
Wait, who's Jewish? Not Jewish?
Oh, I was just for juxtaposition.
Oh. But then, like, they are, I don't know. I think it's the same mentality. It's like I'm a good artist, like, I do this, and he's like, I'm going to have a number one record. This is going to be a number one record. Whether or not it's not, it is or it's not, he just does it. So I give Kanye props, and knowing that he's, like, his family life is suffering, I give him more respect.
What?
He's truly about his craft. Like, you have to be...
What?
All great greats are slightly crazy. I'm going to just throw that out there. They have to really be obsessed with what they're doing to really to really be great. I'm not saying mediocre and good and like okay. I'm saying to be like a fucking Jack Nicklaus, fucking Tiger Woods, like Michael Jordan. You have to be like slightly narcissistic.
That's slightly narcissistic is one thing, but I don't think you're Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan going off about how awesome they are the way Kanye West does.
Not the way that Kanye, not to the extent of Kanye.
Right.
Yeah, he's like Muhammad Ali, except Muhammad Ali's profession was to get in a ring where people could throw punches at him. And I don't think Kanye would stand anywhere where someone could throw punches
probably
at him.
Not. So I think the point is the whole article here is like giving me a little more respect for him. Like I kind of admire him a little more.
I think it's all stage to keep them in the headlines, honestly.
Well, that could be a thing too, but yeah. Then him copying Beyonce's release thing is kind of a cop out. I was like, dude, losing your touch, man, if you're just gonna fucking copy Beyonce.
That's right, his sister's going to start punching Jay-Z soon. That's what's gonna happen.
Oh my god, that was so funny.
All right, let's shift gears to the political landscape, where we live in California now, but that may not be the same way it is forever.
Ever really think about just how big California is? It's really big. It's bigger than New York, Pennsylvania, and these seven other states combined.
Uh-huh.
So big, it takes 14 hours to drive from one end to the other.
Not
like
if you go fast
enough. Driving from New York to Miami.
Oh my
or
God.
Driving through 10 countries in Europe. Just think, there are 38 million Californians, but only one governor. How can that governor look out for all 38 million of us?
It's representative government, you stupid assholes. But moving on.
He is trying, but the state is too big and complicated to govern. It is a wealthy state with...
It's big and complicated, guys.
I'm trying to picture this exact same argument working with Texas.
I did the exact same thing.
High-priced housing, but with more and more people living below the poverty line, almost 20%. It's a disastrous combination that keeps getting worse. Maybe that's because our K-12 education is ranked 47th in the nation. Only 3% of our state budget is spent on our infrastructure. Important things like roads and water. We keep losing needed jobs to states that are more competitive than we are. So how about this idea to create six Californias? Well, we would certainly get better representation. Our capital will be closer, a lot closer. It would feel like it's we the people again. Imagine starting fresh with issues that we really care about, like jobs and education, and giving everyone the tools they need to succeed. Imagine your state with a more local government that's more responsive to you, shares your values, and is more accountable. A state that puts your tax dollars to work for you the way your community wants them to work.
Okay, I have to stop this because...
It's terrible.
Okay, Stephen Colbert had the guy who's behind this ballot proposition, and... they're still in the process of whether it will or will not be on the ballot next year. It got enough signatures, but then you have to verify that they're not bogus. Here's the thing. The guy who's behind this whole Six Californias movement is a rich guy who lives in Silicon Valley, which would be one of the new states. And it would become the richest state in the country, by the way. And it would border the new state of Central California, which would become immediately the poorest state in the country.
Yeah.
The poorest.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Considering how many poor states there are.
So just this idea of like, wouldn't it be great to be split? Because there's so many people below the poverty line and we'll take care of you with six Californias. Like, not really. It's just cutting the poor people out of the general pot.
Yep.
Yeah, it really is. And this is all about this guy wanting his little corner of California. And by the way, I forget his name. It's not important. He's a dick. He started his own school, like his own.
Like a charter school?
I don't know if it's a charter school or if it's a an institution of higher learning.
Oh.
But yeah, he's.
Did Colbert let him have it?
Sort of. It was very subtle and on the sly. But it was you know, he did sneak these things in there at like at one point, and it was stuff that went over his head too. He's like, so when you get your way and you split California into six things, will you do away with asinine things like letting any moron get a harebrained idea into the proposition system? So yeah, I don't know. I kind of hope it doesn't make it on the ballot.
Me too.
Do you think Carr State would pass it, huh?
You know,
enough funding and fool people into voting for it.
I think so. I think the marketing, obviously there's the money behind it.
Yeah.
There's the marketing behind it. You already have the nutbags in the northern part of the state that are in love with this idea of the state of Jefferson, which is a dumb idea too. Yeah. It's really, really crazy. And it makes no sense.
No. Just to say, it's so big. It's bigger than Rhode Island. It's bigger than Delaware. It's bigger than a lot of things. Like that's an argument. Like, size is relative.
Yeah, it's not bigger than Texas.
Right.
And where are some of the jobs? Oh, they're going to Texas. Why? Because Texas doesn't regulate anything. And there's a lot of pollution that goes on in Texas. And, you know, maybe we just need a stronger centralized government that regulates things like pollution.
Right.
So that you can't just go, hey, everybody, we want to be America's toxic waste dump. That's Nevada's state slogan, by the way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is like, it's big and it's complicated, guys. And
it's so hard.
Oh, my God.
And if we just do this six California thing, which isn't complicated at all, you will have a job.
Oh, my God. Yeah, unless you happen to live in Central California, in which case, go pick me some fucking lettuce. But by the way, if I lived in Central California, the first thing I would do is put like a huge surcharge on everybody's food.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, okay. By the way, lettuce costs $8 a head now.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. Thanks for playing, assholes. Enjoy your salad in Silicon Valley. It's $50.
Yeah,
that's nothing for a Silicon Valley
that's
person.
True.
Yeah, I was like, isn't that what they cost right now already?
Well, do they have arugula in them? Because if they have arugula, that's extra.
I love arugula, speaking of which. I do too.
You would.
Well, I don't eat
anymore. I don't even know what
anymore.
That means.
It's really I don't good. Eat because I can't afford it anymore, but when I was rich, it was wonderful. I would cook with it all the time. Fuck, those days were good.
All right, speaking of idiots, in 2012, then-Senate candidate Todd Akin's statement that, quote, legitimate rape, unquote, rarely causes pregnancy, that unleashed a storm of media controversy lost in the support of many in his party. Flash forward to about a week ago, where North Carolina Congresswoman Renee Elmers, no relation to the glue people, although her brain is sort of like that. She's running against Clay Aiken, by the way, this November. She urged...
Wait. Clay Aiken, like, of American Idol?
Correct.
He's running for... What is this? Senate?
Congress.
Oh, Congress.
From North Carolina.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
He was going to have a runoff election, but the guy he was tied with died.
Oh, so he wins.
He does win by default. Well, she urged the Republican Party, especially men in the party, to bring policy discussion, and I quote, down to a woman's level. She continued, men do tend to talk about things on a much higher level. Many of my male colleagues, when they go to the House floor, you know, they've got some pie chart or graph behind them, and they're talking about trillions of dollars. And you know how the debt is awful, and you know, we need our male colleagues to understand that if you can bring it down to a woman's level and what everything that she is balancing in her life, that's the way to go.
Oh, my God. Why?
How can women be confused by pie charts? They're in the kitchen making pies all the time, right?
This damn, is... Becca. Wait. Nice. Nice.
Up
it was offensive and brilliant at the same time. I don't know what to say to that, but bravo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bravo. I feel like that should be a fucking meme. Like, there's when people use that argument like that, right, that should have been a fucking meme. Someone should get on that. I'm so proud of you.
Thank
you. So proud of you for that.
So let me just say this. A lot of times the people holding women back are other women. This is a wonderful example of it.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
I don't know what she's attempting to do with this. But yeah, I got to imagine if you're a woman living in North Carolina that you I mean, seriously, if you're a woman voter in North Carolina right now and you hear about this, do you go, let's see, do I vote for the gay boy who sings Or do I vote for the woman who thinks I'm not smart enough to understand a pie chart?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That is a Sophie's Choice if ever I've heard one.
It really is.
For a Southern lady.
So
if I was Clay Aiken, I would just get that quote, like put that out as much as possible.
No, she said. It worked. That's what happened with the, 2008 elections. Sarah Palin started talking. Everyone's like, nope, never mind. We're cool. Like, we don't want her anywhere near the White House. But I did, we read this article when I was taking sociology about how women in politics, they have their husband basically puts them out there and be like, look, see, we love our women too and all this, and they can talk, but they like come from a privileged life, and they also like perpetuate these ideas, like basically all these like hegemonic ideas about like how women, like patriarchal shit, you know. And it's kind of like a big conspiracy thing in a sense, but it's sad. It's sad that that happens and people buy into that shit. No one knows what I'm talking. Did I kind of skip a couple of steps? It's been a couple of years since I was able to like talk about what I learned in class, and pain colors are still a thing in my system. But
we're with you.
Okay. It's like, just, she scares me. Scares me.
We're with you.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was looking up something. I wanted to hear Renee Elmers talk about something. This is something different. She's talking about the size of government. So here's a little clip so you can hear what she sounds like.
Dr. Carson, you are absolutely right. The overblown growth of the federal government does infringe on every American's private life and their liberty. The bigger that the government gets, the less freedom we all enjoy. And that's why we're fighting so hard here as Republicans, especially in the House of Representatives, to decrease the size of the federal government. Unfortunately, we have Harry Reid in the Senate and the Democrat-held Senate and the president that are fighting us on this issue every day.
That's not an issue.
It's freedom.
It's a liberty
issue.
Don't forget the liberty.
What if I don't know. Republicans seem pretty intent on regulating, you know, things that have to do with women's health and
gay rights.
And gay rights and that sort of thing, but yeah, whatever.
I don't know. That strategy, which I think is most often used by Republicans, and to me, like, the first example of it is fuzzy math, but I think it probably goes beyond that, like, earlier back. But just that idea of, like, nobody really gets this, right? Like, we're all pretty dumb, so let's just, you know, like, smile and chuckle about it. And, like, we don't expect you to figure it out because it's so complicated, right? Only nerds really want to understand government. Just vote for me.
Right. Vote for me. I'm going to go, and I'm going to reduce the size of this government that you do not understand. So it will be down. I'm going to take it from chicken tenders down to chicken McNugget size so that you can understand what is going on.
Oh, my God. That's like you take the one chicken breast of California and you turn it into a six-piece nuggets with dipping
nuggets.
Sauce. Yeah.
It's easier to dip and everybody gets a little bit of barbecue sauce or honey mustard, whatever you prefer.
Mm-hmm. Freedom. You get to choose your... Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited about who's on the computer screen now. Like, first we had Kanye and this is... Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm really excited, but no spoilers.
Yeah. Well, we've moved on from the crazy lady from North Carolina.
I got too excited.
Yeah, I don't know why the internet's being a bitch. It won't play this video, but I can tell you about the story.
Internet!
Dateline Phoenix. A home burglar quickly realized that he broke into the wrong house when a former WWE heavyweight champion took him down.
Yeah.
That's right. Phoenix police said wrestling star Bryan Danielson, who goes by Daniel Bryan, and his wife were pulling into their carport at about 7 p.m. when two suspects dropped their loot and ran out of the house. Danielson said he chased after the men and was able to catch up to one of them, where the pro wrestler held the man down until police arrived. The second suspect ran off.
Did he put him in a yes lock?
No, he did not.
Did he do a flying knee to his head?
He said, I took him down. I put him in a rear naked chokehold, but not too hard. I didn't want to hurt him. I just wanted to make sure he was subdued until police could come.
Rear naked chokehold?
What mm-hmm. is that?
It's a hold. They do it in MMA.
We are naked. Are you like...
It's like a buck naked.
Yeah, I was like, I heard that right. And why am I the only one questioning it?
Because it's wrestling.
Okay.
I don't know.
He went on to say the fun answer would be that I put him in the yes lock and that he was tapping on the ground, but that's not actually what happened.
But it is fun.
It is. Phoenix police say the suspects broke the back door to get into the house. The suspect in custody is 22-year-old Cesar Sosa.
Boo.
He was booked into the Maricopa County Jail and charged with burglary and had a felony warrant for his arrest on kidnapping and burglary charges. Danielson told reporters that it may not have been the best decision to chase after the burglars, who may have had a gun or knife. He said it's probably not the best thing to do because you don't know what will happen. I just reacted, and that's what most people do. He said he and his wife, Bree, said that their priority was making sure that their 2-year-old French bulldog, Josie, was okay.
Aw.
Quoting Bree, "She's like a child to us. Brian, when he was chasing, had no idea if they had Josie in their arms. They're actually," Brian said, "they're actually lucky I got to them instead of Bree because she probably would have been a little bit more violent." So,
yay.
Again, pick your victim more carefully.
What are the odds you're like, you accidentally robbed the WrestleMania champion? Like, that's really, there's only one in the world and that's where you end up.
This is why you do not rob people.
Yes.
So you never fucking know.
You cut right to the heart of it.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rob.
Yes. Diana has no idea what we're doing.
No.
I know.
Yes. You ever think of old school Daniel Bryan? We're yes now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan. Take a real athlete to take down an intruder.
Oh, Nate, you should take us to wrestling again.
Yes.
Well,
it's fun.
My friend who worked for WWE does not work there anymore.
Oh,
so.
She's not your friend, I presume.
And I missed my very last chance when I was at that silent
for
retreat.
Over 25.
I had to buy tickets like saps.
Aww.
Oh, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, I forget when they're coming back again. It's soon, but I think it might be when I'm on my way out of town. So
okay. I really think instead.
No.
I think instead we should all go to the Buddy Ranch.
All new at 5. There's a pretty close call for a local celebrity when he drives up on two robbers who are ransacking his house.
Yeah, but get who the celebrity is. A former WWE champ. ABC 15's Mary Ellen Resendez is live in the newsroom with that story. And Mary Ellen, this was probably not the homeowner you want to mess with.
It certainly wasn't, Katie. In fact, as you mentioned, Bryan Danielson is a former WWE champ. And his wife, Brie Bella, that's what she goes by in the ring, is also a big-time wrestler. So these two wrestlers are not afraid.
The local news media had a field day with this.
Oh, I bet.
Wrestling a guy is very much part of the business.
Yeah.
I was very angry. Brie was very angry. They're actually lucky that I got them instead of Brie, mm-hmm. because she probably would have been a little more violent.
Bryan and Brie Danielson were pulling into their Phoenix carport when they saw the door to their home open and close. Then not one, but two burglars made a mad dash to escape, dropping the loot before they ran. But Danielson wasn't about to be slammed by a tag team of thieves, so he chased after both of them, catching up with this guy who you see on the screen right now, Cesar Sosa, and he put him in a signature wrestling hold.
What was it? What was the signature, was it?
He was just like,
no.
I'm sorry. He wasn't in very good shape, so it didn't take much. And I took him down. I put him in a rear naked choke, but not to, I didn't want to hurt him. I just wanted to make sure that he was subdued.
Cesar Sosa was booked into Maricopa County Jail and is charged with burglary for breaking into the Danielsons' home. But get this, Sosa also had a felony warrant out for his arrest for kidnapping and burglary in a past crime. Now, Bryan and Brie say they were most concerned for their pet bulldog, Josie, who, by the way, made it out okay. Now, unfortunately, the other guy, the other thief, got away. Oh. Coming up at 6, this big...
Yeah, okay. So anyway, what have we learned? We've learned that having a speech impediment does not prevent you from being a reporter in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
That reporters love puns way too much.
And crime doesn't pay. That's the other thing we learned.
Crime doesn't pay.
Daniel Bryan is awesome.
That's right.
Yes. Sunday, Daniel will
join
us.
I miss him. I can't wait till he comes back to pay-per-view.
And wins WrestleMania again.
Yeah.
It's true.
They act. We decide. Cool or tool?
Oh, I have to change one of these because I moved something.
But he is a tool. Rick Santorum is a tool.
It's true.
It's damn true.
Hold on. That story's coming up later. All right, first up in Cooler Tool, splitting up California. Ted.
Tool.
Diana.
Tool.
Becca.
Totally Tool.
Listen, splitting up is not always the solution. Sometimes you just got to work through your differences. Splitting up California is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. I've heard a lot of dumb fucking things. I work in TV. It's Tool. Up next in Cooler Tool, women. Diana.
You may have to explain the question more clearly for her.
I think she's processing.
Fucking Tool.
Women are Tool.
Fucking Tool. Oh. I hate, love woman, hate woman. Mostly right now, I hate women.
Oh.
Fuck it. Especially the ones that hate on other women that are politicians, especially.
Aren't you hating on women calling them tools?
Okay. Yes, and I. How do I put this? I don't like other Koreans, and I don't like. Right now, I don't like other women. This like, friends wise, I'm totally cool. Friends, like, all my homies are cool. Homies are cool. People that I semi date, not cool. Not Tool. Y'all are Tool. Women are Tool. All
right.
Becca?
How do the Koreans get involved?
I don't know. Ted Nugent agrees, though.
Wow. I'm going to say women are cool. I got to stick up for us.
That's fine. Ted?
I guess women are cool. No, they're cool. Of course they're cool.
Yeah, I'll go with women are cool. Yeah. Unless they're trying to take down other women.
Or split up California.
Yeah. Well, that's a guy with a
but the woman giant, behind him.
Giant cranium.
Oh, no.
Nothing in it. Dickhead.
Koreans.
And nothing in it but dicks.
I think that's Santorum, but no, it's not.
What just happened?
And finally in Cooler Tool, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan. Becca.
So cool.
Diana.
Okay, yeah, I'll give it to him. Cool.
Ted.
Oh my god. He's so cool.
yeah,
he's
he is.
He's dreamy.
Because, right. I mean, above and beyond everything else, the whole press conference that they did, and go on YouTube and find the press conference. The press conference is amazing. Mm-hmm. He was fucking holding court. That guy is cool. And you know what? He doesn't stand out there and tell everybody how awesome he is because you just fucking know it.
That's true. He's really chill.
Take a lesson, Kanye. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't put Kanye in Cooler Tool because I knew how that would go.
How would that go?
Well, I think we'd be split on that, Ted.
He's my beloved Tool.
Aww. He's your cool Tool.
Now, last week, we brought you the story of the sexually frustrated husband who emailed his wife a spreadsheet tracking all the times that she turned down sex.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She posted it on Reddit. Well, now the site Guyism has released another spreadsheet.
Guyism?
Guyism. Mm. It's like guys and isms put together.
Gotcha.
This one based on the sex diary of a wife who chronicled all the times her man didn't want to do the deed.
Mm.
Yeah. She didn't go by date. She just went day one, day two, day three. So I'll go through it for you with the day, yes or no, and her comment.
Mm.
Day one, no. He came home from playing basketball with his friends. He went to bed without taking a shower. I took a bath and masturbated.
Okay.
Day two, no. Comment? Magic wand. Day three, no. No comment. Day four, no. I wore a teddy to bed. He was snoring by 10 o'clock. Day five, no. He was watching Band of Brothers marathon. Day six, no. Magic wand. Day seven, no. No comment. Day eight, no. I told him I was horny and wanted sex. He said the Tigers were in extra innings.
Oh, God.
You know, up until day eight, although wearing a teddy to bed is a pretty good clue, up until day eight, I'm like, well, maybe you weren't overt enough. But if you're going ahead and telling him you're horny, I think that's pretty overt. Day nine, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Comment, he went down on me.
All right.
Day 10.
Wow.
Day 10 through 13, no. Comment, on the rag. Day 14, no. Magic wand. Day 15, no. I waited for him to come home from a bachelor party. At 4 a.m., he rolled into bed with glitter on his face.
Oh, dear.
He said it was from the strip club. He passed out drunk. I masturbated while he slept.
Wow.
That's so sad. Day 16, no. He was hungover and threw up all morning. Day 17, no. No comment. Day 18, no. Magic wand. Day 19, no. No comment. Day 20, no. I woke up and started giving him a hand job. He said he was going to be late for work. Oh. I hate this guy. Seriously, I fucking hate this guy. Day 20, hold on. I skipped ahead. Okay, day 21, after the no-go hand job, no, magic wand. Day 22, no. I got into bed naked. He said he was tired, but he spooned me. His dick was not hard. Well, maybe that's a you problem. Day 23, no. No comment. Day 24, no. Magic wand. Day 25, yes. He got on top of me. It lasted 2 minutes. I finished myself off with a magic wand.
Wow.
Day 26, no. No comment. Day 27, no. I gave him a blowjob. He did not return the favor. You dick! Day 28, no. Magic wand. Day 29, no. He got angry because I said something during the game. The Tigers lost in the ninth inning.
Oh, dear.
Okay, I can understand that one. And day 30, no. Magic wand. So that is, if you want to break it down, 9 magic wand sessions, 2 other masturbatory acts, 1 fellatio, 1 cunnilingus, 2 times they actually had sex, and a grand total of 28 no's.
Hmm.
Guyism also included an email providing context on the diary. Apparently, the woman began keeping track of the couple's sex life late into the marriage, which eventually ended in divorce. Shocker. So,
I feel like he was cheating on her.
Yeah,
there's like no, like, I don't know how guys are wired, but from what I understand, based on popular media, he had to have been cheating on her.
No.
No, he could have just been
over it. Like, yeah. They might have been having all kinds of problems and he just wasn't attracted to her anymore.
Yeah.
Really? Guys will turn that down? Even like, if I'm not attracted to a girl, I'll still, like, if it's been a while.
At a certain point.
Yes, it's true.
You're just over it.
You're over
really?
It.
Really?
You're still.
Yeah. It takes a lot. Mm-hmm. It really does. It takes a lot.
No, I was
going
to say, it has to take a lot because I've never, never been in that position.
Well, maybe one day, Diana.
God, I hope not. Why would you wish that upon someone?
What? I just want everything for you.
You can live life to its fullest.
Yeah.
You guys are assholes.
Oh. Jeez.
All right.
So much anger.
So.
No.
I'm mesmerized by the thing over on the side that says 5 myths about corn you should stop believing.
Oh, I don't believe any myths about
popcorn.
Popcorn
is my favorite food in the world. And I'm like, what?
Clickbait.
It's total clickbait.
All right, fine. Well, hold on. We'll get to that in a second. But first, I want to talk about this.
Okay, I'm sure it's stupid, but I must know.
It's called the orgasm gap.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's the one thing to know if you think women make excuses for not having sex. It's, of course, written by a woman who probably makes a lot of excuses for not having sex. Then they go through the spreadsheet we talked about last week. The woman who was justifiably annoyed by the spreadsheet posted it to Reddit. The responses poured in. While the original post had been removed, people continued to offer their commentary on the whole thing. Wife later posted the comment in response to those critics. Our sex life has tapered in the last few months, but isn't that allowed? We are adults leading busy, stressful lives. I cook for him. I do his laundry. I keep our house clean and tidy. It's not like our sex life was going to be this way forever. It was a temporary slowdown due to extenuating circumstances. Well, it sounds like an excuse, but okay. The entire incident highlights an often accepted and rarely questioned cultural narrative that tells us that men want to have sex more than women. But if women were enjoying sex with their partner, wouldn't they be more eager to have it? Not necessarily. But why do they need an excuse in the first place? The truth might lie in a concept known among sex researchers as the orgasm gap.
Dun, dun, dun.
I love that they're sex researchers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes back to Masters and Johnson. They were people. They did sex research. So basically, the orgasm gap explores the unequal distribution of orgasms between men and women. It's highlighted in many studies, including a survey of American adults that concluded that men have 3 times as many orgasms as women. This would be easy to explain away by saying that men's bodies are more wired for sex and orgasms. But research on sexuality shows us that when women have sex with other women, their rate of having an orgasm is equal to that of heterosexual men.
Boom.
And the myth that women take more time to orgasm than men is also a socially constructed fallacy. Studies show that when women masturbate, they take roughly the same amount of time as men to climax. Hmm. Now, roughly 75% of women can never reach orgasm from penetrative sex alone. That's according to an ABC News report. Bob, go out and cover this. With this in mind, men with grievances about their lack of sex in their relationship might find the real problem staring back at them in the mirror. The real solution might be to focus more on their partner's pleasure and less on their own.
I don't know if I agree with that conclusion, though, because it could also just be communication between the two of them. Like, I believe the gap is real, but to just be like, men, you suck, you're selfish.
Yeah.
You know, women might not be able or willing to explain what they need.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point.
Got to wear that undies, the undies map, just to show them where to go.
It's true.
To my fallopian tubes. No,
we'll go for the ovary.
If you go up to the fallopian tubes, you've gone too far.
Right. Yeah, if you've passed the cervix, turn around. It's like a GPS.
Yeah, good luck. You bounce off that thing.
Gynecological positioning system.
Yeah, I mean, there's also the argument that I've heard that, you know, as a woman, you should also be responsible for your own orgasm as well, not to be reliant upon your partner for it. And I think there's some truth to that, and that could be as simple as communicating, be it during or, I guess, you know, during can be kind of tricky, I would guess, because I'm sure some guys that during would not want instruction. And it's you know, I don't know.
I think where it comes from with the whole, like, not...
Can you talk into the mic?
Oh, sorry. The Thank whole, you. I think it it does sound different.
Yes.
The whole thing about, like, not being attentive or, like... focusing on, because I feel like if you are actually really paying attention to your partner, regardless, male, from whatever, if you're paying attention to your partner, you can listen to the nonverbal cues. So I can see guys being like more about themselves. Really, Ted?
That's just a verbal, nonverbal cue. I was just talking about what you were saying.
Was that your nonverbal cue?
Yeah, I was joking. Right. Not what you were saying.
He's not into it.
Sorry, it wasn't what
you
were saying.
So I get what, I think the whole selfishness statement is kind of correct to a certain extent, because the reason with women and women's sex, like the same sex has a little more higher success rate, according to this article, which is obviously scientifically proven, meaning
by someone named Karina.
I don't
That's a stripper name, by the way. Just saying.
Hater. Anyway, it's because it's like we're more attentive. And we're wired that way. I think we're socialized that way to be more attentive, more emotional. But also, like, physically, you have to pay attention. And guys, not going to lie, you stick it in, do your thing, and it's cool. Like, you don't have to pay attention.
Is that
really
your experience?
Ted, that's right. Don't you know, Ted? You just stick it in and it's cool.
That's my experience.
Don't pay attention. just put it in there.
Yeah.
Any hole you can jam it in, just hammer it right home. Just go
Maybe
to
you
town.
Do need a map. Maybe.
Yeah. Especially as a younger guy, you just get the blood flows away from your brain so much, and you're just so excited to see a woman naked that you just it's all you can do to not go at full running speed and jam it in.
That's true.
Because you're just so like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Have you seen videos of little kids on Christmas morning that are super excited? Or that dog that got really excited after seeing someone away for 2 years and passed out from excitement? That's how guys are when you see women naked when you're in your teens and early 20s. Because you're just like, oh my God. My cock is so hard and I get to put it in. I want to put it in right now.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's being selfish about your own pleasure.
Nah, it's not about being selfish. It's about we're wired to hit it and then go hit it some more and hit it some more. It's an evolutionary thing. It's how we survived. That's how the human race propagated itself. But as you get a little bit older, you start to realize, okay, I'm going to actually get to see women naked again and I don't have to hurry my way through it. And you could take a little time and do it the right way or whatever.
Some guys don't have that mindset.
That's true.
I'm sure. I can only speak for me. And I know I have that mindset to make sure, you know, that everybody leaves satisfied. I am like a Bruce Springsteen concert in bed. Everybody leaves exhausted and satisfied.
Yelling, he really just Bruce. Said that on a fucking podcast. He really, holy shit. It's,
which makes you more like the Kanye.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two up tops and one show.
That's what I'm talking about.
Seriously, dude, you're on fire.
Okay, so now to because of that, we're going to delve into the myths
Okay, wait.
Corn?
Okay,
about corn.
I'm really sorry that I'm taking this whole podcast on this tangent. You can spend 10 seconds on this.
No,
I just want to make sure that popcorn's not going to kill me because I eat it more than any other food.
That's perfectly fine because I often get drawn to the side on these things. So these are the five myths about corn that you should stop believing. Myth, corn is unhealthy.
Phew, that means it is healthy.
Yep, it's a vegetable, it contains nutrients, and an ear definitely counts as one of your daily servings of veggies.
Yay.
Myth, your body cannot digest corn, and that's a bad thing. It is, apparently.
Okay.
While it's true that corn has high amounts of insoluble fiber, meaning the kind of fiber that goes through your body intact and gets those bowel movements going, this is not a bad thing. Sure, if you eat a lot of corn, you might see some of it in your stool. But an insoluble fiber has been shown in research to help feed the good bacteria in your gut. So there you go.
Yay.
Myth, corn isn't a good source of any nutrients. Psst. Vegetables like kale and spinach may be better, but corn has something to contribute too. It contains certain vitamin B's and C's, as well as magnesium and potassium. Yellow corn is also a good source of two antioxidants, which are good for eye health. Myth, corn you buy at the grocery store is genetically modified. Nope. In fact, most sweet corn available in a grocery store is not GMO corn. Also, myth, you shouldn't eat corn because it's really high in sugar. Well, you don't steer clear of bananas because you think they're high in sugar, do you? Then why should you do the same for corn? A banana contains about the same amount of calories as an ear of corn, around 110, yet it has 2 to 3 times the amount of sugar. A cob of corn has around 6 to 8 grams of sugar, while a banana has 15.
Is this by the Corn Council of America?
I think so.
Okay. Plus, I wonder if popcorn gets rid of all the nutrients and things.
Dead.
Not that I love popcorn, too.
Note, this article only addresses the myths about sweet corn and its form as a vegetable. For information about corn as a grain, visit the United States Department of Agriculture.
So is popcorn is neither really a vegetable or a grain. So I may not be in the clear, but thank you. Thank you for indulging my corn curiosity.
That's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. I think...
I apologize. That was horrible.
No, it was great.
Mm. All right. Well, here's what we've been waiting for. Which one of Cher's songs did she hate?
Do you believe?
Oh, it can't be that one.
It really should be that one.
It should not be that one, you hater.
Well, if Cher could turn back time, she'd have a second thoughts about one of her biggest hits. It turns out that she hated If I Could Turn Back Time when songwriter Diane Warren presented it to her. Now, Warren wrote several songs for Cher, including Turn Back Time, Just Like Jesse James, and Love and Understanding. The former two are part of Cher's current Dress to Kill tour. And before performing Jesse James, the singer gives a spiel about having despised the song upon recording it. But she's got the wrong song, Warren told Hollywood Reporter after seeing Cher. So Cher apparently hated all of Diane Warren's songs, but recorded them anyway. Yeah, Cher's If I Could Turn Back Time was a number 3 hit on the Billboard chart, spawned a classic music video of her wandering around in a V-shaped body stocking thing that is kind of, in retrospect, kind of disturbing.
Yeah, it seemed really risque at the time.
It was, hold on, let me call up a little Cher for you.
If I could turn back time.
Hold on, let me get some Cher. We gotta find something so that we have some... Oh, here we go. This is terrible.
One of the reasons I love going to it is because I get to see these people, Democrats, these Republicans, I'm a political junkie, and enjoy it. Like, I get to see these people for, like, sort of who they are, because like actors...
I hate when Spotify goes into ads. They don't do anything for
it. I have my Spotify. I pay for it. There's some luxuries that I pay for. Spotify.
Some luxuries that I pay for. Hold on. Let me make sure we don't have. Oh yeah, we do. Stupid Huffington Post live. All right. Now back to. These are all so bad.
I love the first one though. Like a sling and I'm gone. Just a small town dude with a big city attitude.
Honey, are you looking for some trouble tonight? Well, alright. Alright. that was just like Jesse James. So Cher and I have more in common than I thought. We both hate Cher songs. Who knew? Speaking of hating on women, this time it's men. It was a week ago, WEI host Kirk Minahan unleashed a rant in direction of Erin Andrews, where he called her a gutless bitch, which clearly crossed any line of decency, even for the widening cesspool that is Sports Talk Radio. A little commentary in this article. The station issued a statement from Minahan apologizing for the comments, although there's no evidence that he was disciplined or punished for them. I think he has been now. His rant followed a separate WEI talk show that implied Erin Andrews was happy the criminal stalking complaint against her was helped further her career. When the guy shot the video through the peephole in her hotel room. That was a happy coincidence that it boosted her career. I don't think she was happy about the whole thing. It was just like, you know what? If something terrible happens and something good comes of it, you're not happy the terrible thing happened. You're just not. So he went back on the air on the Dennis and Callahan show, and the trio addressed the controversy surrounding the discussion about Erin Andrews. It didn't really go well. And after offering what sounds like an I'm sorry, but not sorry apologize, he makes a comment about you really just have to hear. This is sort of an apology. And this is on WEI in Boston.
I used a word to reference Erin Andrews that I shouldn't have used to reference Erin Andrews. I will completely cop to that. I said it. I admit it. That was a mistake.
Anybody making you cop to this?
No. I shouldn't have
used it. You feel this in your heart of hearts?
I just feel like it was the wrong time to use that specific word to describe her. Now, I will say this. I think she stinks at her job.
Yep.
I don't think she's very smart. I don't think she comes across as very smart. I think.
Okay, these are all legitimate criticisms. She stinks at her job. I don't think she's smart, and I don't think she comes across as smart. Those are legitimate criticisms of someone working in the public area. Not really the best place to do it during an apology, but he continued.
Fox only hired her because she's good looking. I think if she weighed 15 pounds more, she'd be a waitress at Perkins. I mean, that's what I believe. I do believe that. I just do.
He's going to get two front pages.
No, I don't.
No one mentioned this, but for 3 days, I think we were all on the same page. We talked about the raw deal that Pam Oliver got.
Right.
Pam Oliver is 53.
And they're talking about Pam Oliver. She was a sideline reporter for Fox. She's African-American. Very attractive woman, but she got kind of demoted because she's getting a little bit older, and Fox hired younger female sideline reporters.
Fox is known for being a dick's like network. Why are people surprised?
But anyway, so this was the apology, by the way. I don't think she's smart, and I think she's terrible at her job, but I shouldn't have called her a bitch.
Well, he picked the wrong time to use that word is what he said.
That's my favorite part. I don't think it was the right time. By time, I mean on where it could be publicized nationally. In my private, I would definitely have said that, and I still hold to that opinion.
Well, here's the other thing. Here's the other side of that. Fox has come back, and they pulled all their advertising off of WEI.
Ooh.
All of it.
Mm. Damn.
So there have been consequences. I'm not sure if this guy has been fired. I think he got suspended for a period of time. And again, you know, I'm not in favor of just randomly firing people because they say something stupid. He went way too far. He went way too far. I'm not an Erin Andrews fan either. I don't think she's very good at her job. But she has her job. She does it and whatever. But, I don't know. That's the wrong way to apologize, sir. That's all I will say.
I feel like people should apologize. Like, when they don't actually mean it, they should keep it very short. Like, I'm sorry I said it. And if they ask questions, be like, I'm sorry I said it. Just repeat that sentence for a good 30-minute interview.
Well,
and that's an apology.
I kind of respect for this reason Anthony Cumia, who was fired by SiriusXM, because he said, I'm not going to apologize. I meant what I said about the person who attacked me, and I've said things like this before on the radio station, on the show, and I'm not going to apologize because I'm not sorry. So don't apologize if you're not sorry. This guy was told to apologize, and he almost made it through.
Almost. He like, no, this is, I believe in my heart, it was the wrong time for me to have said that.
I really do. Some mistakes are bigger than others. Some are a slip of the tongue, and some are the Colorado Rockies giving out 15,000 replica jerseys honoring their all-star shortstop, Troy Tulowitzki, except they spelled his name wrong.
Yikes.
On the back of the T-shirts. The Rockies said they discovered the misspelling at some point, but instead of disappointing those fans looking forward to receiving the jersey, they said in a statement that they decided to hand them out anyway.
What the fuck? So bad.
Is there something wrong with it? Mm. Fan Jordan DeShulman asked, according to the Associated Press. I didn't notice with the name being so long.
Oh, dear.
Now, the Rockies plan to remake the jersey with correct spelling later in the year. That's very big of them. And fans can exchange Saturday nights for the new one at the stadium or at one of the team stores.
Good for them.
Fans who will exchange the jersey will also get a free ticket to a future 2014 or 15 game. By the way, the Rockies stink.
I was going to say, that's probably why they don't give a fuck. And it happened.
Many of the fans got here early, took the shirt, and left. They recognized it was a collector's item. Usher Leon Thomas told the AP, there were only so many handed out, they were gone fast. Hmm. Now, Tulowitzki entered leading the National League in batting average and was third in home runs, except he's on the disabled list now. So that's got to be a little weird. He is easily their best player and most recognized player. And he's been with them for a while, and they misspelled his name. Oopsie. Yeah. Are you ready for your hero of the week? This will be your
Daniel Bryan is my hero of the week.
Well, maybe there is a contender.
Maybe.
Eric Stone Street, star of Modern Family.
I love him so fucking much.
Well, you may love him more. Rick Santorum, apparently at one point at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, wanted to get a picture with him. It was at a time when he was publicly saying gay marriage is wrong. And I'm like, no, you know, I can't do it. And he said it was with him and his kids or something like that. And he said, and Eric Stone Street said, I'd be happy to take a picture with your kids, but I just can't be in a picture with you.
Hmm. Boss status. I love this fucking guy so much.
Whether you're in the mindset of he's just awesome, or whether you're in the mindset of he was doing it because he plays a gay character, and if he showed up in a picture with Santorum, it would probably lead to him being fired. Either way, it was awesome. It was a boss move. So,
it was a boss move because
it's not throwing a burglar in a rear naked chokehold.
It's a different kind of heroism.
Yeah, you can't compare the two.
It's my podcast. I can do what I want.
Don't let the big world overwhelm you. Let's get small. Small town news.
I can transition to small town news whenever I like. I can ask people to shop Amazon through the link at NateDarlingShow.com. Why? Because we give you free podcasts, 3 a week here on NateDarlingShow.com. And all we ask is that if you're going to shop on Amazon anyway, to go to the website and click the Shop Amazon tab up at the top, because it doesn't cost you anything extra. And it helps support the show. We do appreciate it. So thank you in advance for all of your good work. And now, small town news. Dateline Portsmouth, New Hampshire. A musical being performed in a New Hampshire park has drawn some noise complaints. But the deputy police chief says he's not giving Shrek a ticket.
Ah.
That's right, Shrek the Musical is enjoying a summer run in the seacoast city of Portsmouth. But some neighbors want the volume turned down. City police and city councilor Esther Kennedy say they've been getting complaints about the noise from the shows. But Deputy Police Chief Corey McDonald tells the Portsmouth Herald and its Seacoast Online website that he has no plans to ticket the Green Ogre. Kennedy says she'd like to outfit police officers with decibel meters so they can get an objective reading of how loud sounds are. McDonald said police are waiting for more direction from the community before engaging in any crackdown. Because again, if Shrek the Musical is the biggest crime problem in your town, you're probably doing okay.
You live a charmed life. Quit complaining.
In a small town. That's what you do. Anyway. That's small town news. No Gordy Little for you, Ted. Sorry.
Thank you. No, I'm okay.
I'm really sorry.
No need to apologize.
I'm sure
you'll find another episode of him being stomped on the head by kids. Read it. Read it. Read it slowly.
That's the only one. That's the only story you want to hear.
So awesome. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of The Nate Darling Show. We do appreciate you downloading the show, giving it a listen, also telling your friends and family and coworkers and complete strangers, really, about the show, because that's how we spread the good word. That's how we continue on. That's how we get exposure to new people. We're going to grow to love us as much as you do. You know you love us because we satisfy you every week. A great wave of satisfaction washes over you as you listen to the show. You know you like it.
Is this like subliminal messaging or something?
No, I was carrying on with a metaphor from earlier. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I gotcha.
I was talking.
Picking up what you're laying down.
That's what I'm doing.
Three times a week.
That's right. We'll take you away like an 80s video. Pull you into the comics. Make you love us for a very long time. I was right on the edge of going with the love you long time thing, but I didn't because I'm classy.
I'm surprised. I thought you were going to.
Thanks. Anyway, that's going to do it for this week of the Nate Darling Show. Hey, there's a new Well Hung podcast on the way on Monday, so make sure you get that and check it out. Y'all have a great weekend. Be safe, and we'll see you next week. Bye. Thanks, Becca.
Yay, bye. Have a good weekend.
Bye, Becca. See you.